Ask an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word. I know I mention it sometimes, but I will freely acknowledge and mention again that it's not just the preacher up behind the pulpit preaching to you. The Lord gives messages, and I have to pray through them before I deliver them. When it shows up something in my life, or shows an area that the Lord is wanting me to move up or to be, He challenges me also. So the message that the Lord put on my heart to share this morning is one that I have been personally very challenged with in my own life and experience with the Lord. We know the scripture. I've written on the board a greater love, and there are many scriptures in the Bible about love. And one of the scriptures, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if," what? "If ye have love one to another." If. Now that was a conditional statement. So, in other words, the world would know that you're my disciples when they observe you loving one another. When we begin to really think about love, and I know it's easy, and I want to encourage us not to tune out this morning, because, and this is what I mean by that. When we think about love, it's like, well, yes, we're supposed to love everybody, right? We know that. And so then if we just read a bunch of Bible verses that talk about love, it's easy because it's such a, love is the foundation of a Christian experience, okay? Love is the foundation for why we do what we do. It's our love for God. That's why we do some things and we don't do other things. But we're also called to love one another. But doesn't the world love? I mean, how many people out in the world are professing love? We have people that are getting married and in couples, "Oh, I love you." People say that quite frequently. There are some cultures that don't say it very often. I remember I was in Pakistan, and one of the ministers I was with, he almost not chuckled about it, but he was like, he told me after I got off the phone one time, and he heard me talking to Renee on more than one occasion, and he said, "I like that. You say, love you." And it was like something that they weren't used to doing. I know in some of the African countries that one of the things I've tried to challenge the husbands and wives, their relationships are very different, and the devil works in that. We're not trying to promote a Western way of living, but yet the scripture teaches a way a husband and a wife are to relate and work together. And on more than one occasion, there's been, especially the women in Africa, they love hearing teaching on marriage. They get so excited, and the men too. Sometimes, one time they said, "We need to bring our wives next time," because they were wanting their wives to hear what they ought to be doing. And the women, they just loved hearing that. But I'm thinking about this word love that we're so used to hearing in our culture. What does it really mean when Jesus said, "By this shall all men know you're my disciples"? Because there's a lot of people professing love that aren't saved. So then are they disciples of Christ or are they not? So this is not intended to be an in-depth treatise on the subject of love this morning, but I want to speak about a greater love by the help of the Lord. There are different types of love. There are different objects of love. You can love God. You can love somebody. You can love the world. The scripture talks about not loving the world, or how if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. It's speaking of an attachment or an affection. When we talk about the definition of love, it does have to do with affection. It has to do with an attachment. Someone says, "Well, oh, I just love that." What they're saying is, "I really enjoy that," or I really like that. Love also has to do by definition with choice, doesn't it? You all have probably heard me say, if you fall in love, you can just as easily fall out of love. Love is more than, "Oh, I fell in." Now sometimes that may be what, there may be something instantaneously, some sparks that flew, But do you know what happens instantaneously? You can lose those sparks just as well. So deep love has more to do then with a feeling, although feeling is part of love. It has to do with decision as well. And that's when we choose to serve the Lord, it's not only based on emotion, it's based on a choice and a decision that this is where who I'm going to follow for all of my life. I'm going to do what He wants me to do, whether I feel like it or not, because frankly, sometimes you won't feel like serving the Lord. And sometimes, just with children and marriage and family relations, love is not always emotion. Sometimes it's a kind of a negative emotion. Does that mean you don't love then? No, because love is deeper than feeling and emotion. Love is, I chose. This is what I choose in spite of what happens. I have made a commitment and I'm going to stand by it, and it's still my decision today. So that's love. Jesus said in John 15, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So how are we supposed to love one another? Jesus said, love others as I have loved you. And then that raises a question in my mind. How did Jesus love us? Because He's got to be talking about more than this verbal profession or confession of love that the world has. Because He said, if you love one another, He said, this is how people are going to know you're my disciples. So it's going to separate us from the way the world loves. So then I started wondering, Lord, what is the face on that kind of love? What does that mean? Well, Jesus said, love as I have loved you. So how has Christ loved us? Christ left heaven to come to this earth, where He experienced pain and suffering and injustice. And He did that because of love, wasn't it? He left something good to experience something bad that we might experience a blessing. Now, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. This is much easier said than done. Are we willing then, as children of God in our relationships with one another, to endure hardship and suffering and pain and injustice for the benefit of someone else? That's how Jesus loved us. And that kind of love does not come natural. That kind of love takes an experience with God. And I believe that's what Jesus was talking about when He said, that's how people are going to know that you're my disciples, because it's beyond the love that the world has. It takes a divine work in our heart to experience difficulty and pain that someone else would receive a blessing. Because our world is very selfish. What I want, what I feel, what I think, but basically what Jesus was saying is, it's not about you. I want you to think about others. That's what this kind of divine love is. And I would say that is a greater love. That is a greater love. Verse 13 of John 15, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man do what? You remember? That a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than this. Jesus personified love. Doesn't the scripture say God is love? But what does that mean? It means He put our welfare and our interests above His own comfort. Greater love hath no man than this. And so I wonder this morning in our lives, can we have a greater love? Are there areas in our life that we can demonstrate as children of God greater love than what we have? A love that is willing to endure more A love that is willing to bear with more. A love that is able to say, you know what? I'm going to respect more and consider more what they think more than what I want. That's a greater love. And that does not come easily. It does not come naturally. And that's the reason Jesus said, that's how people are going to know you're my disciples. Because it's when we can have a greater love that we are willing to lay down our life, our comfort. Some people would say, oh, I give my life for them. Well, we might give our life, but are we willing to give up our way? You see, sometimes it's easier to give our life even than it is to give up our way. Are we willing to concede our opinion? Not that we don't have an opinion, don't misunderstand me. But are we willing to defer to our brother and sister? Are we willing to defer to them even if we have a strong preference in another way? Oh, but I'd give my life for them. But how will we really know if someone's willing to give their life for us? It comes down to the very practical interactions that we have with people in life. A greater love that I will show you this love, not because maybe we're not dying for each other physically, but I'm willing to die to my opinion. I'm willing to die to my rights. I'm willing to even die to what is the right way, seemingly. I'm not saying give in to sin. Don't misunderstand. Now, there is a difference, and I want to make this point clear. There is a difference. A child could look at their parents and say, well, if you loved me, you wouldn't discipline me, because would you like to be disciplined? The reality and the answer to that question is yes. When I was in that place as a child looking back, the answer is yes. I am very glad I was disciplined as a child. I am very thankful that my parents, quote unquote, got me in trouble. Because it wasn't after their own pleasure. It was to correct behavior in my life that I could be stronger from it. The same thing would apply to a boss. It applies to a father, to a husband. It applies to anyone in authority. It's not that we give up filling the position faithfully that the Lord has put us in, but it's saying if the roles were reversed and in society, this is going to be the best way. And Jesus taught us and exemplified that personal giving up. When we are reviled, persecuted, mistreated, and even killed. See, Jesus went through all of those things. He showed us what a greater love was. A greater love. The first commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. That was the first. And then he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And second is likened to it. In other words, it's very similar. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as who? As thyself. That is the essence of a greater love. Loving other people as yourself. And Jesus taught us even more than yourself, right? So how do you want it? Who is your neighbor? Jesus told a parable about that too. Really, it's whoever comes in your sphere of influence. That's your neighbor. And how are we to treat them? As you want to be treated. Don't talk to someone in a way that you wouldn't want to be talked to. Don't say something to someone that you wouldn't want them to say to you. Don't do something to someone or about someone that you wouldn't want those roles to be reversed. You know, that sounds so simple, but this is the love that our world needs, and this is the love, this is the greater love. Love your neighbor as thyself. Consider their rights, their desires, their wishes. Jesus also taught in Matthew 7:12, and I'm sure the children, you hear it, know it as a golden rule, that the scripture says, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men do unto you, should do to you, do ye even so to them. In other words, don't act from selfishness. Do you know this kind of love would take away all jealousy? Wouldn't it? Why are people jealous? Because you have something I want. Well, greater love wouldn't, there would be no room for that. There'd be no room for covetousness. A greater love would rejoice when God blesses someone else, right? There would be no room for, injustice. We would treat people fairly. Because I wouldn't want someone to treat me unfairly. So then that means regardless of what someone else is doing, greater love, doing the golden rule, doing to them as you want. And I know sometimes people say, oh, I don't care how people talk. I don't care. Do you know that's usually just a front? That's usually just a front. It's a facade. It's a defense mechanism. Because all of us really do care how we're treated. We really do care. And so greater love then would destroy. Would there be any place for, in one of the commentators, Albert Barnes, and I actually wrote down what he said. He said, this would make you impartial, candid, and just. It would destroy envy, treachery, unkindness, slander, theft, adultery, and murder. That's what true love does. So that's a love that goes beyond what's in our world today, isn't it? John 4:8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. So when we are children of God, he wants his love to work in our life to manifest itself in a greater love than was possible without salvation. All right? My prayer is that we'll get hold of something this morning. A greater love. 1 John 3, and this is, we'd like to read through, down through a few of these scriptures in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. This is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. In other words, John was really, that was a lot of his ministry. He preached and taught about love. That was John. It was love, love, love. And it did not preclude the teachings and writings of Paul and of Peter. You know, but they were more about do this, don't do that. John was about, hey, remember, the foundation of everything's love. Don't forget it. That was kind of John's ministry. You've heard from the beginning. In other words, I'm just repeating myself, but it's pretty important, so I'm going to keep saying it. You've heard from the beginning that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. In other words, he's saying don't love like Cain loved. Because he killed his brother because of envy. He killed his brother because he wasn't happy with the blessings of God on his life. And he said that's not it. His self-serving. Do you want other people to deal with you from a standpoint of envy? What about slander? Do you know what talking negatively or bad about someone does? Just people that just, we're talking about gossip here. Just spreading negativity and talking about someone. Do you know what that does to someone's reputation? Do you know that people may not take an actual sword and kill someone with it, or a gun. But you know, you can kill some people. There have been a lot of people killed because of loose talk. A lot of people killed just by not being as careful about talking about things maybe be best not talked about. What do you think a greater love does when it comes to how we maybe talk about people? Do you think greater love would maybe give us, say, Lord, I need a greater love. I want more than what I have. Do you think it would make us all a little more careful? Because words are really important, folks. Words are really important. And so he said, don't love as Cain. 1 John 3 and verse 14, then he said, we know that we have passed from death unto life. How? Because we love the brethren. This is how we can know that we have passed from death unto life. That's pretty strong. It's like, well, I love the brethren. Of course I do. But what does that mean? It means there's a greater love going on. This is how we can know we have Jesus Christ in our life, because of that love. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life. And then in verse 16 he said, hereby perceive we the love of God. So how do we know the love of God? He spells it out again. Because he laid down his life for us. The nature of God's love and Christ's love and is shown in the way that he lived his life. He laid it down. And you know, that's the criteria for distinguishing children of God this morning. This is how we know. It's on love. So how do we love? This is the thing. We can dress modestly, and we should. We cannot go to certain worldly places that we shouldn't go. We can come to church, and we can put money in the offering, and we can be a pretty good moral person. But do you realize that if we don't have this greater love one for another, that those other things can actually come of no effect to us? Lord, help us to have a greater love. Help us to learn in this, because this is how we know his love, because he laid down his life. Wonder this morning, is there anybody? And if there's not, that's all right. But is there anybody in your life personally that comes to your mind in this teaching this morning that maybe the Lord would have you show or have a greater love? Is there anybody that maybe you need to lay down your life for? Might not be physically, but someone that you could, again, I'm not talking about giving in to wrong. I'm not talking about giving in to sin. I'm not talking about not being a good steward. We understand that balance this morning. But are there things that maybe we could change in how we are handling certain situations when we really stop and ask ourselves, is this what I would want from someone else? That's what a greater love is all about. We ought to lay down our life in sacrifice, in giving. Verse 17, he said, whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, this is a test of love, because if we are not willing to, in essence, divide our bread with the hungry, we certainly wouldn't lay down our life for him, right? You ever thought about that in a very practical sense? He said, if you say your brother has need, say, oh, brother, and James brings this out, be warmed and filled, I'm praying for you. And then we go our way. You know, prayer only goes so far, folks. Sometimes God wants to answer your prayers by us making a sacrifice. And so that's what he's talking about. If I gave to everybody that I personally knew that was hungry, I don't have the ability to do that. So the Lord is not, the intent is not to put us on a guilt trip and say, everybody standing on a corner you give to, if you don't, you don't love them. I've had people just even recently put me on a guilt trip with that scripture. Sent a message to another minister and I, and those were the two scriptures they placed at the bottom. It's like, well, if you see someone have need and you don't help them, how do you have the love of God? And do you know the Lord's intent was not for us to use that or abuse that, because we're not to feel guilty. We have obligations. We're to be good stewards. But what he's saying is, the love amongst God's people should be, in a very practical sense, if my brother's hungry, I want to help him. I want to help him. Because how can you say you'd give your life for him if you're not willing to give him a loaf of bread? A greater love. And this is the distinguishing mark. There are some of the historians, and I believe I shared this maybe a year ago. I'm not positive when it was. But I remember mentioning, I'll mention again, that there are some historians that actually believe the spread of Christianity after the time of Christ was due to this practice more than almost anything else. And today, we live in a society, and I've heard it right amongst the saints, and I'm not throwing stones here, but I've heard it right amongst the saints. It's like, well, why do we need to give people that? Just give them the gospel. Just the gospel. But if my brother has need of bread, then... And I remember first hearing from Brother John Varghese in India. And I know that some kind of raise their eyebrows and maybe don't understand until you really start looking into it. He said, soap, soup, and salvation. You know, you give someone a bar of soap to clean their body, give them a bowl of soup and feed their belly, and then you can preach the gospel to them. Well, we're not trying to win people by material things. That's the balance. There are some people that try to win people, and you could fill up the churches if you'd give out, hey, we're giving out $1,000 a day, we could fill up the church, and we say, oh, look at how many people are listening to the gospel. We're not trying to sell the gospel, okay? But at the same time, the one of the things that was so different from the time of Christ was that when people saw a community knit together in love, looking at one another's needs and assisting one another and going the extra mile for each other, they said, these people are different. What is this? This is what he was talking about. And then he said in verse 18, my little children, love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Have y'all told someone this week that you love them? You don't have to answer me, but I hope you have. I hope the parents have told their children, and I hope husbands and wives, I love you. What does that mean? And this may be it for another Sunday. We're not going to focus on it this morning. But a husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. That really means something. It really means something. But for us, next time you tell someone you love them, I'd like you to think about what you're really saying. And I'd like you to consider the love that the Lord wanted us to have. Not just husbands and wives or parents with children and children with parents, but he said amongst one another, for one another, love one another, even as I have loved you. But I'd like to conclude this morning with a couple very familiar verses out of 1 Corinthians 13, thinking about a greater love. What does the word greater mean? Greater is bigger. It's more of, right? It's more significant than whatever you're comparing it to. And Jesus said, greater love. And my prayer and desire is, Lord, help me to have greater love. And it comes because of the presence of God. 1 Corinthians 13, 4, and I'm going to replace the word charity with love. Love suffers long. This is a greater love. Love suffers long and it's kind. In other words, love is not unkind. It's kind. It says, love does not envy. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. In other words, love isn't proud. Love isn't arrogant. It says, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Love pursues the benefit and welfare of others more than what I want, what I think, what I say. Love is not easily provoked. I think the closer translation actually, love is not provoked. Some people say, well, it's not easily, but you done pushed it too far. Love is not provoked because love, if we love as Christ loved, how much did he put up with from us? He kept putting up with and putting up with until a change came. Love thinketh no evil. That doesn't mean that we hide our head in the sand. That doesn't mean we're ignorant of wrong in other people's lives. Some people think, well, I love them so much, so I just ignore what they're doing. Actually, that's not true love. Love acknowledges where wrong is, and love actually addresses it. Love covers what? A multitude of sin. It doesn't mean it hides it, but it means it covers it just like an umbrella. That everything we do We are operating from a foundation of love. So it's not that we see someone in sin and we think, oh, if I really love them, some people are about loving, they mean they hide it and cover it up. That's not what the scripture means. Love actually exposes. True love exposes, but it's done from a purpose of edifying rather than from a standpoint of tearing down and destroying. So love, it says, thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth not in iniquity. It rejoiceth in the truth. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. Oh, they got theirs. Has anybody ever thought that? Well, they kind of got what they had coming to them. A greater love. It doesn't rejoice, but it rejoices in truth. And then it says this, it beareth all things. Would you say that takes a divine work of God to bear all things? He said sometimes we put up with things for a while, right? I know all of us. We say, I put up with it. But I will also freely confess there's been times I thought I'd put up with something long enough. But what kind of love is the Lord calling for? A greater love. It bears all things. It believes all things. In other words, it's believing for the best. It's always seeking for the best. It doesn't mean I believe everything I hear. It doesn't mean I always believe someone that lies to you 19 times and they tell you something the 20th time. Frankly, I probably won't believe them. That's not what he's talking about. But it's I hope for the best. I'm going to hope for the best. And it hopeth all things. That's the next part of the scripture. Believeth all things, hopeth all things. And then he said, endureth what? All things. That is a greater love. And all I can say this morning is, according to the scripture, is this kind of love does not come naturally. This kind of love is what Jesus was talking about when he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Like I said, I had been personally challenged this week. I believe that probably all of us face situations and circumstances and things in life that the Lord would have us have a greater love. And sometimes it's not, love is not always the opposite of hate, all right? You understand that? Because the world can do that too. I don't hate. I'm not trying to get someone. But we say, if we love, what will that practically mean in my choices? What will that practically mean in what I do? What will that practically mean in what I say? And I'll tell you, it can really start changing perspectives about some things sometimes. Because sometimes we're looking at things, what I think and what I feel and what I want. And maybe you can even defend that, and it's not wrong. But when we start thinking about a greater love, it all of a sudden starts putting a perspective on how does this impact someone else. So, Lord, help us to have a greater love that the world could still look on us as a people and say, you people are different. And what's the difference? It's the love of God working in our life in a very real and a practical sense. Amen.